Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Now is the time to trim your lamps and get ready for the coming of the Lord.
Friends, the Lord is coming soon. Are you ready? Join us now for the Midnight Cry broadcast.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Wow. All of these things he's been talking about, now all of a sudden he says, you're dearly loved children. I got to tell you, don't steal, don't get angry, don't get bitter, don't do all these things. By the way, you're still dearly loved children. Wow. What an amazing God we have. Now, he doesn't love us so we can keep doing those things. He loves us enough to bring us out, but not to reject us in the process. I want my mind and my thinking to get rid of all the stinking thinking and learn how to think the way he does, and then have enough confidence to actually do that. All right? As dearly loved children, and walk. So that's daily living, isn't it? And walk in the way of love. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. That's the foundation of my standing. That's the foundation of how I could be a dearly loved child. But among you, there must be not even be a hint of sexual immorality. Pretty plain language. Or of any kind of impurity or of greed. Because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Now he's talking about something where that's what your life is about. This is the way you live, not somebody that falls into something. But still, if somebody gives themselves to that, man, you don't have a future. All right? See where I am. Yeah, no, all right. And it's interesting that he calls a greedy person an idolater. You know, some of us have traveled around in India and we've seen literal idols, images that people worship. There's one city where we would go and you'd approach the city and you'd look over to the right and there was an idol about 100 feet tall. And you say, oh, what ignorance. Well, according to this, we got a whole bunch of ignorant people in this world, in this country right here, because they're greedy. They worship what they can own. They worship their possessions. And it's just as bad in God's eyes as worshiping an idol. All they're doing is handing over control of their hearts to God, to the devil. All right? All right? None of these have any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. Now, here's something else that's very interesting. You were once. Let that sink in. He's talking to people, instructing them as to how to live, but now he comes back to who you are, your identity. Let that sink in. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. You think maybe the Lord wants us to get that straight in our thinking? Once I was, but now. Once I was, but now. Once I was, but now. If I can understand who I am in the Lord and how that works, does that make a difference? It makes all the difference. So So as a result of what I am now, he says, live as children of light. And then he goes on and describes more, and he goes on through the whole list of all the different areas of how we live in this world, marriage and family and all of that. And he comes down to the end of the book, and that's where he has the thing about spiritual warfare. We're in a place where we got to fight for what God has given us. But here's the thing. Now, let's ask a question we've asked before. Suppose you were a demon assigned to somebody that's a Christian. They got the mark on them. You know they're the Lord's. It's your job to attack them. Now, you could say, okay, I know that they're weak in this particular area. I know that they have a tendency to have an unforgiving spirit. If somebody does something to them, they just can't let it go. Unless the person comes and grovels. They're just going to harbor that, and they're going to not let it go. So that's how I'm going to beat them. I'm going to tear them down and make them ineffective. So when people look at them, that's what they're going to see instead of this Jesus that lives on the inside. You could do that. But then one day, another demon comes along and says, you know, I got a better idea. I got a better idea than just all these individual little things. How about we attack their identity? How about we fill them with doubt as to whether they're really God's children or how they could be God's children, or we focus on their inabilities. We make them feel like, yes, this is how God wants you to live, and you've got to somehow find it in yourself to be that. You see how the thinking is not right, because none of us are called to live in our own strength. And all we have to do is have this idea baked into our thinking. If there's something I need to do, I've got to find the way to do it. I've got to try. And if I fail, I've got to try harder. And nobody here's ever done this, right? Not a single person, I'm glad. But if you run into somebody that has, is this not a major attack? Yeah, you're God's child, but you're so foolish and weak, and what a worthless child you are, just constantly focusing on all that you're not. Well, guess what? We're all not. There isn't a single one who can do any of the things that we're called to do. That has nothing to do with who we are and what we are. But the devil's going to get our focus off of, I'm a child of the King. Christ lives in me. It's not my job It's my job to yield, let him teach me how to live, and then immediately look to him and make the right choice and know that he's going to power it. That sounds simple to say, but how many of us do that moment by moment with the issues of our lives? You see where God's having to teach us a whole lot of things. But the devil's attack is going to come to undermine who we are and who we think we are. If you were a child of God, you wouldn't feel that way. You wouldn't do that. Well, why is Paul writing to Christians to teach them these things if that weren't possible? If we didn't still have a nature that wanted those things and it wasn't possible because of our past programming up in this crazy brain of ours for us to do those things, why would he talk about it? That doesn't make any sense, does it? But that's the reality. But the devil's going to focus on you and your failures. And like that boy talking to the other boy, I remember what you are. Who are you fooling? You call yourself a child of the King. You wear all those fancy clothes. So what? I know what you did. I know what you were, but it's also, I know what you did. He's going to focus on our actions, our failures, our inabilities, but our past. Oh, God. It doesn't matter who I think I am now. Look at what I did. Oh, God, all that stuff that I did, I can't let it. It's just hanging over me. And the devil's constantly reminding us, you couldn't be a child. How could you be a child of God if all that stuff happened? If you were so guilty of this and guilty of that. The devil's going to attack us through our past, through our weakness, through our failures, through our doubts, through our pride. pretty quiet. Are we talking about stuff that matters to real believers? It affects every single one of us. Oh, I'm so thankful that it doesn't depend on any of these things, but this is critical. I believe that God wants us to understand. I'm not a child of God because I'm strong. I'm not a child of God because I get it right all the time. I'm not a child of God because I'm so smart, I'm so capable, I'm so worthy, I'm so anything. I'm a child of God because of His mercy, His choice, His purpose, His strength, His ability, things I can't even imagine that He can do. He has the power to do if I just let Him work and believe Him. But my mind gets turned to these other things and it gets off of the reality of what He has done. And I've got to come back to that foundation constantly. It's not about even things that have happened to me. And the devil turned those things around in my mind and said, that happened because you're no good. Hogwash. Even if you weren't good. That's what he's calling us out of. You know, one of the most wonderful scriptures, I think, that really teaches us about these truths is what Paul says we've referred to so many times in Philippians 3, I believe it is. When he talks about his life of forgetting, Paul had to learn how to forget the things, forget the past, forget everything that happened yesterday. Forget everything that's behind. Do we have the right to do that? Do you think that God is holding your past over your head and saying, straighten up and I'll love you? But don't we act that way sometimes and think that? Oh my God, help us to get to hear His voice in the midst of all of this nonsense and recognize that He has thrown our sins into the sea of His forgetfulness. They're washed away as if they never happened. We have the right to bring. Now we come honestly. We don't just cling to things, but we can come honestly to Him and look to Him and look to the cross and look to the Savior and walk away from everything we have ever done and be free. Have you done that? Now it is quiet. If you haven't, who are you listening to? Do you see where maybe our minds need to get changed about things? What are we believing? Are we believing what God says, or are we believing the thoughts that the enemy is feeding us, trying to undermine us by attacking our very identity? It's not just my weakness to do a particular thing. It's who I am, and if I'm struggling with who I am. Am I really your child? Do I have what it takes? On and on and on. And look at your record. How could it possibly? And on and on and on.
The message you have heard is part of a regular church service recorded as it was being ministered. CD and DVD copies of this service in its entirety are available. To assist with postage and processing costs, an offering of $5 is suggested for CDs and $10 for DVDs. Please identify the station over which you have heard this broadcast and provide the broadcast date when ordering. You may also receive our quarterly publication, The Midnight Cry Messenger, which is mailed out free and postage paid to all who request it. Our mailing address is Midnight Cry Ministries, Post Office Box 685, Southern Pines, North Carolina 28388. Or you may choose to visit us on the World Wide Web at www.midnightcry.org.
And now, may God richly bless you until our next broadcast.